CMO Convo is back with another discussion on what it takes to be a great CMO. This time we're speaking to Abhi Kumar, founder and CEO of the fractional CMO agency, Qware, and he's sharing what you need to be a fractional CMO, from access to clients, tool sets, and networks for advice, along with some insights into the future. Hi, Abhi. Welcome to CMO Convo. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Will, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. And I'm very excited to be having a conversation with you today. It's a great thing to be talking about, because we often talk about careers for CMOs, and a big question is what comes next in your path as a CMO. And one thing that does come up quite a lot is being a fractional CMO and stepping into that kind of space where you almost like a consultancy role. But before we do get into the specifics of that, because that is what we're talking about today, maybe you want to introduce yourself to our audience a bit, Abhi, and tell us a bit about yourself.
Yes, I've been in the marketing world for 16 years. Before that, I had a career as a microprocessor architect for Intel, Motorola, IBM, and working some work for Apple. But for the last 16 years, I've been doing and focusing on marketing, and our specialty area of marketing is strategy, which we deliver through fractional CMOs. So this is very, very appropriate, something we do for our clients. We do a lot more work in marketing, but strategy, the top level strategy as a fractional CMO, is the big part of what we do right now. And
is there a certain approach to marketing that's led you to take this model, like to take this sort of fractional CMO model? Like what led you to sort of develop this, this approach?
Certainly, yeah. So this, we got onto this just 5 years back. Earlier, we were like any other marketing agency. People came to us and say, hey, I need Facebook ads or I need this. And we did that. So the problem we found is that many times what clients were asking for is what is not what they needed. But if they're coming to us as an agency, they want ads or they want website done, it's business for us. So it was like a little bit of a heart-wrenching for us to tell them, you know, really, it's not your website is not really your problem. You have some other problems. But they just want the website done. So we politely initially started telling them, you know, you should consider this, you should consider this. Some will listen, some will not. But over the period, we realized that they really need some guidance on strategy, because they are just picking a piece of marketing instead of looking at overall how will this work. And so that's where we found some clients who had fired their staff and they were asking for advice. So we got enrolled into this process by, we told them, oh, okay, why don't we manage your strategy and manage your ongoing marketing as well, instead of just one aspect. So we started doing that, where we were the agency who came up with the strategy and implemented with our existing clients who we already had, and there was a transition for them. And then along the way, we ended up actually getting a client who did fractional CMOs. We became their marketing agency, helping them with lead generation. So I looked at their model and I said, you know what? The service which we are kind of giving away free is fractional CMO service. We should just add that as a layer and charge for it as a strategy. And we did. And then slowly we started moving to, in fact, we are not going to do your implementation without the strategy. Earlier it was, oh, you can buy the strategy layer on top. Mm-hmm. Then we said, no, strategy layer is what you got to buy. We will, if you come to us Facebook ads, we now say, sorry, we'll not do Facebook ads because we don't know whether it'll work or not. And then you're going to be unhappy. You got to work with us on strategy first, and then we will do the Facebook ads. So fractional CMO becomes a requirement. Only change we have made is some cases, smaller companies, they might not call it fractional CMO because CMO to them is a scary term. Sometimes they think it's a big deal. We are not that big. So we might call them director of marketing, but effectively it is the same thing delivered by maybe a little bit more junior level person. The idea is that a executive level marketing strategy is needed by every company. And by now I'm a firm believer that every company needs this. Anybody who's doing marketing without a CMO-like person guiding them about the marketing is actually wasting a lot of money.
Makes sense, definitely. Like having that consistent vision behind the marketing is always very important, particularly having someone in that sort of CMO role. Having that role sort of spread across different levels of seniority can mean to lead to very disparate ideas about the direction that marketing strategy can take. I also love the idea that you've able to flip being an agency on its head, so you actually get to tell the clients what to do. Having worked in an agency myself, like that sounds like the absolute dream. Like the amount of feedback I've had from clients before, I've said, no, this is not the right route. But you get to say, no, this is the route you have to take, which I really like that approach. So what are the types of, you touched briefly on like a couple of scenarios that a fractional CMO might be involved with, but what are the types of industries and business types that you mostly work with that you think most benefit sure. from a fractional CMO stepping in?
Yeah, so we are still relatively small with, you know, just a half a dozen or fractional CMOs or so. So we are not specialized by verticals, at least right now yet, but our CMOs are. So what we do is we end up getting somebody who knows the industry. But that being said, if we don't go by vertical, but there are certain kind of businesses and size and all where this really makes a difference. So the one would be what I will call a brick and mortar or a old style business, which has been running for a while and they have never done formal marketing strategy. And they reach a point where they say, you know what, things are working, but we really need to improve this. So these are, you know, single owner business doing still millions of dollars in revenue, but it's a one person who started it and they're still working with it. They own it for 20, 30 years. So those businesses are great for, because they have never done it formally. They don't know this concept that, hey, marketing can be planned strategy and it can be asset. They never look at it that way. So those, when they see it and they realize it, oh, we're really getting a partner who's talking about my revenue, who's talking about my margins. Usually marketing agencies don't talk about those, but a CMO does. So when we talk about that, then they say, okay, this is a different kind of a marketing, because they want to know my margin before they spend any marketing dollar. So that's what CMO should be aware of, these things. So that's one category. Of the other ones is startups. Startups who have at least the seed money, and now they don't have money to get a full-time CMO yet, but they still need the CMO level strategy, and they might be even going for the next round of funding. So they need a senior enough person who will come up with their deck, give the reasons and how market will work and everything. Usually CEO tries to do a job, and if they don't have experience in marketing, they kind of miss the point and miss many projections, et cetera. So they can get a fractional CMO. So the cost will be lower. And then when they go to the next round of funding, by that time, they might have money to hire a full-time CMO. But in some cases, they'll just stay with that fractional CMO, just buy more time of theirs for a while, because it still works. In other cases, which has evolved for us, is that we actually help them find and interview the CMO. It's not our person, but we'll help them find the right CMO, place them in place, and then we become still the consultant CMO on the side. Because we did so much for them, the new CMO, we placed them, so it's kind of self-serving in some ways, because that person knows us, we were the ones who interviewed them, and when they need marketing services, they're gonna come to us. So that's the other one. The third one is anybody who's looking for hyper growth. They've been doing things, and suddenly they want to go 2x, 3x, 4x. That's where CMO can come in and really shine and come up with completely, you know, turn around the strategy. So it's really coming down to it. Somebody looking for fast growth and they have the money and they want to do a bunch of stuff, startups, and the existing companies who have finally decided they need formal marketing. They kind of see the value there. And once they see it, by the way, those ones, especially the ones who have existed for a while as businesses, I have customers for 7 years. They've stayed with the fractional CMO model. So the 7 years ones are the ones which we didn't even call it fractional CMO then. It's only 5 years since we started calling it fractional CMO, but it's the same exact role. Because once it works, pricing is right. You're responsible for doing it. If it's the right company, they just want to stay with it. There's no reason for them to change from that model.
Awesome. Go on, Abby. Sorry, go on.
I was saying is that, for example, the fractional CFO has existed for a long time. So many times we explain fractional CMO as a fractional CFO model. It's a little easier for these brick and mortar businesses to understand that part.
Also, I really like the idea of these long-term partnerships as well, because I think a lot of people may have the misconception that being a fractional CMO means that you're almost like a freelancer or a mercenary. So you're coming in just to work on like one small project for a while. You don't have really the opportunity to make a big impact on the business, but it sounds like really in the right circumstance, you could have a real impact on sort of long-term projects and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. In our case, all our engagements are, we don't hold anybody. We don't tie them by contracts. but there is no engagement which is less than 5-6 months at least, you know? And so they always go longer, and 5-6 months because they got the funding, they moved on to next stage, or they decided to bring everything in-house at that point, they have enough money. So it's minimum that, and that's enough time to make a lot of difference. And even after 5-6 months, we might move away from fractional CMO, but we'll remain consultants ongoing basis for years. Still, we will be the agency, we will help them. So awesome. Yeah, it's definitely a long-term.
Yeah, engagement. Great stuff. And but at the same time, you've still got the opportunity to work in a variety of different companies at the same time as a fractional CMO. You've got that variety. I know myself included, many marketers, they love having a variety of stuff to work on. They like to have unique challenges present them to each day. And that sounds like it'd be the perfect fit, being a fractional CMO. You've got these long-term projects you'll be working on, but you're not stuck in one industry all the time. You're not stuck in one problem all the time. You can step away and do other stuff. And is that
correct? That part is absolutely exciting. And the part I like is that I can go in or as a fractional CMO, because I take on some projects myself directly. Others mm-hmm. are run, there are just few. Being the owner and founder, I pick the juiciest ones, if you will, a few of them. But basically the part I really like personally is that I get to know everything about that business as a fractional CMO. So the phrase I like to use is that, hey, I want to learn about your business enough that I can go and build a competing business. Only then I can do the right marketing. I have no such intentions to compete with you, but till I have not learned about your business enough to see that, hey, how can I go against this business and build competition? I cannot claim I can do a good marketing job. And I started saying that generally that's what I felt because I want to learn about business. But then I realized, man, that's a great marketing line too. Customers love it. Yeah. This person is serious. So now it's more of a like, hey, I use it to hook them in kind of a thing, because that's, I do believe that.
It's a good approach as well. It's like when you hear about those like chess grandmasters who play chess against themselves because they can't find any rivals. It's you creating your own opponent. And it sounds like a really, not just an interesting approach to being a fractional CMO, but being a CMO, being a marketer in general, like create a fictional rival to your company, create a fictional opponent, and try and work out how you would tackle that competition. Like, that sounds like a very interesting angle to go with. So it sounds like it favors someone who really likes to learn a lot about an industry, about different companies. And so is it curious people being a fractional CMO appeals to? Like, what personality types does it suit so, most?
Of course, being a fractional CMO, they got to have the marketing chops, right? Mm-hmm. Because end of the day, it's a marketing job. But what I found is that people who have either tried to do, whether they failed or not, to do their own businesses, and they approach the business from business point of view, they make great fractional CMOs. And in general, they make great CMOs, if you look at the extension. And maybe, I mean, that's something which comes among what's a really different skill set for fractional CMO versus CMO. So there is a lot common. I think the only difference would be for fractional CMO would be they got to produce. End of the day, you are still a consultant. So if you don't start producing something every month, you cannot get a result in a month's time. But if they don't see the trends and what you're talking about within a month, you're out. Because a fractional, in fact, at the C-level, CMO is the, at the C-level, CMO is the shortest living, you know, executive. Yeah. So that's has been known forever. But even there, if they do hire a full-time CMO, and that's one advantage of having a fractional CMO, they cannot immediately, even if they find it's really bad, they got to give that person some months at least, right? It feels bad. It's bad for their morale to hire a C-level and find out in a month. It sucks. But it's a consultant case. They can fire without thinking, right? Like, yeah, just the personalities don't match. You got to go. So given that, fractional CMO has to be nimble to be able to justify within that first 4 weeks that what they're talking about is making sense and aligns with them. So it's a good thing. I see that as a good thing. I don't see that as a risk, because if we are able to align within first 1 or 2 months, they're going to stay with us for a long time. If not, why stay with that company, right? Just move on, right? Yeah. That's why I don't do contracts. We ask them to think about 6 to 9 months engagements or more, but I tell them, hey, after a month or two, just evaluate and tell us, we'll just move if it's not working.
Yeah. So it sounds like you have to be fairly thick-skinned as well to be a fractional CMO. Like, you have to acknowledge that sometimes the connection isn't there between your approach and your marketing strategies. So You said like that was the only skill that you really need that's different than being a CMO.
Otherwise it's a CMO. I think mostly it's a CMO skill. And to me, the CMO skill is, hey, you got to think of business first, marketing second, because marketing is there to support the business. If you keep pushing this, so one difference between with our fractional CMOs or CMOs in general, and when we service as a fractional CMO, we are lesser about jargon, which is the marketing agencies and others throw, because they might get or not get, it doesn't matter. The terms change for the same thing and fancier terms keep coming. Hypergrowth is what? Just a fast growth, right? Mm-hmm. So it's great, sounds great, but it sometimes that can be confusing, that terminology. So what we found is that, hey, just be more practical and pragmatic. Don't throw terms around. They want results, not terminology. Don't confuse them. So we simplify many times. We encourage our CMOs, don't use terminology they'll not get, even though that's the current trend. You know, we know that, but they don't, the CEO might not know that. Just tell them in general business terms why it matters. So that's probably will be the other difference. But I think CMOs do that too. CMOs are also looking for long-term, right? It's not about impressing somebody with the marketing terminology. It's more about actually getting results if you want to keep your job.
But then if you're in-house, you've got that advantage that you can help people learn this terminology and learn these metrics that you're interested in.
You have longer time.
You have longer time to develop that kind of relationship, develop your CEO's knowledge of marketing and explain it to them in terms that maybe get more complex over time. But as a fractional CMO, as you say, you've got to be in there straight away with the plain language, lay it out. Because as you said, you might be working with people who've never had formal marketing in the business before. Yeah. So being able to lay it out in very simple, I don't want to say simple terms, but business-driven terms probably seems like a very good approach to take.
Yeah. And the other way we approach it is we as soon as we go in, we do the strategy session first, and we find what we call low-hanging fruit, basically things which can be done immediately next 2 months to show results. Then we say, let's do this. This will get immediate results while we have a plan in place for 6 to 9 months. Because if as a CMO, you come in, you always think, I will plan this big thing out. Here, we always find something which will show results within, you know, next 6 to 8 weeks, because that is, they're evaluating us. So that's the other difference, if you will, that you need to find something which will immediately change while you're still planning on the longer term things. So we always do. We tell them that, you know, sometimes a website development might take 3 months to do the whole messaging, but there might be a campaign which will get you immediate leads right now. Let's do that while we work on the website. And as soon as they see that leads coming in and that marketing is working and the sales team is happy, they're going to let you do a lot more at that point. So it is important to be pragmatic. So I think that could be a little bit of a difference in some ways.
Speaking of pragmatism, when it comes to selecting clients to work with, because so at the end of the day, there are some clients, you must see them, and they're just lost causes. Like there's no improvement to be done. Certainly. Like, are there cases where you just walk away and say like,
yes,
we can't work with you?
We have the rule that select only 20 out of 20% and reject 80. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the ideal rule. We don't get to that because we got to make a living. So there are times where we lower our standards. That's just a fact. But we try very hard. So we have had cases where without getting into, so I don't give away the names of the companies. Basically, a few doctors got together and they came up with a little chat app, which is HIPAA compliant. And they wanted us to market that to the medical community. So my thing was, hey, there are so many chat apps. Why would you build yet another chat app? And I'm sure some of them will be HIPAA compliant. They kept on insisting, no, we build it, so it's going to be better. I said, you guys are doctors. Like, why would it be better, right? So I kept on saying, we don't want to market it. We don't want to market this. And they kept on saying, and I even said, hey, you'll spend so much money, and I think it'll not work. I mean, the whole business idea in my point of view, I had questions about it. So they had a pretty good budget. They said, here is 100K, it's ready. Just do it, and we really want to work with you. And I walked away, and it felt as an agency, man, that's a good money, because they know they are agreeing that they will fail. But we try that to discourage those. That's one situation where they just are not understanding. That's not worth it. The other one is which you're talking about, where they feel that marketing is like a magic. So I keep saying is that, hey, we don't breed unicorns. We are doing workhorses. We will place these horses there. These are, they work every day for you. So that's what, so if you're looking for one magic bullet will certainly change the things, that happens when you get lucky. But as an agency, that's not what we're doing. But we're gonna place things in place that will work again and again and again. That is what we do. So some clients just, they're not impressed. They're looking for something. Oh, I mean, there was nothing majorly brilliant. These guys are talking standard marketing. So that's the kind of a client we stay away from. We will not sign them up. So that's one aspect. We do charge a hefty sum for the strategy. That's our other filter. If they're not willing to spend initial money to get the strategy done before they get us on monthly, that's one way we filter them out, because that means they're just really not committed. They're looking for something very quick. So even though we tell them, even in the strategy session within 6 to 8 weeks, we will produce results, but strategy first has to happen. Otherwise, so there are clients where we, as a agency 7 years back, I would have taken them without thinking twice. But now we will turn away those clients where we feel that it's not a good match. And sometimes being a small agency, it's hard, but we found that overall we are happier being that way.
Definitely. A lot less sleepless nights worrying over stuff that doesn't have a solution, definitely. But yeah, you have to reach a certain point to have that level where you can say no to good money. So when it came to actually building up your bank of clients, like you said, you started off as more of an implementation agency and evolved into that. So maybe you already had like a bed of clients, but say someone was thinking about stepping into the fractional CMO role now, like what kind of bank of clients would they need? Would they need like a certain level of clients in order to be sustainable, or how would you go about building that bank of clients if you don't have one?
Sure. So there are two ways that people get into fractional CMO. One is they could start this as a moonlighting while they're doing CMO business for some other agency, some company directly. Mm-hmm. As basically it's a consultant, call yourself fractional CMO, set it up and get the systems. The other one is work like agency. There are quite a few agencies have come about now like us who actually have a group of fractional CMOs under them. So it becomes the agency's problem to source the leads for them. So that could be a loose affiliation, where as a consultant, as you need, we'll call the right CMO, or it could be a closer affiliation. And we have a mixture of both. There are some are employees who are always there with us. They are our employees, and there are some who are consultants. We call them as we have more work. And the idea with the agency being, as we grow more, slowly we get more and more consultants become full-time. So either they could do this on their own, and which is completely feasible. Maybe start it in the beginning and get a few clients and get going just through your connections and network, or just work with the agency who will source the clients. You know, agency like us, we source the clients, we work with them. The one difference would be is in our case, I don't know about other fractional, we have a systemized method. They have to follow that. So it's not we just hide you, just go and do the CMO work. There is a strategy part, strategy session. We have, you know, a deck of 250 slides, which gets filled with actual data about competition and everything. So they have to, there is a background they have to follow. So client gets a little bit more consistency from our CMOs, that they will always look for these KPIs. They will always deliver that. So which might work, some fractional CMOs might say, hey, I want to be completely independent. I want to do things my way. Then they should build that independently. If they feel they're okay to work with the system, then work with the agency. Advantage being, you don't have to worry about looking for, because it becomes a challenge. You are searching for a client and you are fulfilling. Both things as an individual becomes a little harder. So that's where we get a lot of CMOs who have tried this for 3-4 years and they have been reasonably successful. They're good CMOs, but they're not good lead generators for themselves. So they become great partners for us. We just bring them on under our umbrella and we help them with the systems and tools. Other advantage, of course, is being in a group. You could also group 3-4 of you together, because there are some tools and things which you'll need access to. As an individual, if you subscribe, it becomes too much. Of course, you can ask the client to subscribe, but they expect some results. It's almost like, you know, mechanics carry their own tools or chefs carry their own knives. Yeah. There's some set you need to produce some initial numbers for them, right? Like, hey, I can check this. I check, you know, I had a SEMrush or I have a similar web. I can check quickly and tell you, right? Otherwise, you're just asking them to buy every tool for you. That might not work. So that's other reason where grouping together as few of CMOs or working with agencies. It's a little bit advantageous.
And having access to those kinds of tools as well allows you to do some more prep work before you actually step into the office. If you have to sit around for a few days for them to get the license for access to certain tools and certain things in the tech stack, then you're wasting your client's time. But if you've already got access to those tools, not only can you hit the ground running, but you could do some preparation before you even step into the office, which has got to be a huge advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it helps the lead generation too. Even the first meeting when we go, we can have a few things ready for them, right? We just looked at this.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. It's like you can set up like a proper pitch to clients, potential clients and stuff like that, by having that work prepared already. Awesome. So in terms of a sort of like a fractional CMO career path, like how does that look? Like do people tend to be a fractional CMO for the rest of their career? Do they be a fractional CMO for a little while and then go in-house somewhere? Like how does it normally work in your experience?
So the most of the ones I've seen is the people who have been at least director of marketing or VP of marketing, and sometimes CMOs, mm-hmm. who later part of their career, they decide, I just don't want to keep working with this one company. I want a little bit of variety, as you're talking about, and I want a little bit more freedom. As a fractional CMO, for sure, the timing and all, you can control a little bit better, right, versus working for a company. Because you are outsider, so you can adjust your timing and have more flexibility. One of our fractional CMOs is, she's a mom of two kids, one year old and 3 years old. So she works part-time and she sets her timing. It works really great for her. She's a great marketer, but it would have been difficult to work with that flexibility with this. This one works out. So that's one. So who have experience, who feel like they want the flexibility or variety is one. Kind of a scenario. The others are who just kind of decide, hey, I want to grow this as a business. They started, and it's not like a kind of a later retirement plan. There are some CMOs who are very senior CMOs who have a lot of experience in very large companies. Now, those ones, when they work with us, it's a mixed bag, actually, because some are so senior and they are so used to doing certain things in certain way, which with the changing companies and all might not match. Even though they have extremely good experience, they can talk about, you know, from fashion world CMO, they know about the colors and fashions and exactly. So when we get a client who's selling something from fashion industry, there are things they know which average person doesn't know how industries work, that 6 months before you have to have the apparel ready and planned, colors are chosen. This is a, you know, internal tribal knowledge. They know that if they work for a major design house. So they have that, but they might not have the skills of quickly changing the tools and everything which is happening. So that's one problem with the really senior ones sometimes. So what we found is actually sometimes we will tag team two CMOs. One who's more used to the modern marketing, other one who's senior, and they together will work with one client, with one being on lead. Other thing which we found really works very well for us is, even though there is one contact CMO, but our group of CMOs is available as consultant to others, and this is considered free. Like they can ask a question off, bounce off, hey, I'm trying to do this, I've never done this. Who's in our group has done it? And that makes us much more powerful as a fractional CMO versus one CMO who's trying to figure out on their own do this. So so the career path would be senior level, deciding to, hey, I'm done with the corporate life. I want to do that. Can great CMO, or somebody who's actually just rising up to the ranks and feels like, hey, I want to do a lot of CMO work for smaller companies and bigger companies, and work that way. So it could be either way.
Well, it sounds like a really great opportunity for learning and development, to find like a sort of mentor as well. Like if you're pairing up these two CMOs of different skill types and skill levels, then They're gonna share knowledge as well. So it seems like a really good opportunity for that. Like, is that something you've sort of formalized as a process in your agency? Is that something you'd advise other fractional CMOs to look into?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we learned this, by the way, actually working with clients. Some clients had a senior level CMO. They still hired us as fractional CMO. The reasoning was, hey, our CMO needs help with automation. They don't know automation that well, but they know the industry very well. So we said, but we can't come in only as fractional CMO. They said, oh, that's no problem. You just be fractional, just work with the CMO. And with the right, I mean, this initially we were concerned, but we have done 2-3 now and we are okay with it. Because there could be a little ego thing, right? We're going to come in and say, not this versus this. And they might say, no, this, but they're in-house, right? And we are billed as a fractional CMO, which means we go to the same meetings in the same decision levels, sitting with them, not under them, right? So it could be, but with the right, what we have learned is a good, confident CMO who knows what they're doing in their industry is actually comfortable partnering with somebody who knows this other area. They feel a relief. I don't have to worry about this whole new way of email marketing and when should we send emails, like, oh, it looks spammy to send once a week, but the reality is, man, you can send email every other day and still increase the sales. That is known by somebody who does email marketing for Fashion World, might not be known to somebody who works on a different, like what should be the next fashion design, right? They focus on that. So that partnership can work really well. And it's a great learning. I mean, I have done that also myself. And exactly, you learn so much about industry working with somebody who's been, they're very well known in their industry and they work for major corporations, and you learn that and they learn what all is possible, right? So they might not do it themselves. Now they know they can get their team to do this. This all is possible. So it's a mutually beneficial relationship.
Yeah, it sounds great. It sounds awesome. Like, not only do you get the opportunity to work in loads of different industries, but to learn from experts within those industries as well, how to market in those industries. So should all people be a fractional, all CMOs be a fractional CMO for a while? Is it for everyone? Is it something you could jump into for a few years to get?
I think anybody could do, anybody who's good CMO could do, yeah, fractional CMO. I do believe that. I don't think there is that much of a difference that way, for sure. Instead of saying that fractional CMO versus CMO, I would turn it around and say every company should have some level of CMO. There is no company too small to have a CMO. And there is no company too big to say, hey, I've got CMO, I don't need other side help. There are situations where you have projects and others, you might need a CMO level outsider helping you because that project is so different. So that's the way I would say. Otherwise, overall skill set wise, there is a major overlap for sure. You know, except you're a consultant, you're outsider, you're still dealing with those issues, but otherwise it's the same. And if they did, by the way, just to be clear, sometimes many of our competition, they talk about fractional CMO is cheaper. It's cheaper because you're spending less time. Actually, your reality is you're paying more. If you took that fractional CMO and put them full time, you'd be paying a lot more than the CMO. So I don't like to tell clients that, oh, it's gonna be cheaper. It's just, hey, we spend lesser time and you don't need any more. That's the only level of strategy you need right now. But eventually, when you grow up bigger, don't think a CMO, fractional CMO can handle it for you. That is not going to be enough. You will need it. Once you're large enough, you need a full-time person. And that full-time person could be ours, by the way. So we have a situation, they just want to still stay with that person. You cannot steal our person. So we have part of that contract. But it's going to be expensive, right, at that point. So just don't want to mislead clients thinking fractional is cheaper. Cheaper because you're just working lesser hours.
Yeah. But it's good to know that your CMOs are out there doing work that's good enough that people do want them forever. Like that's got to be a nice sign for the business. So I think that's a good note for us to maybe end that discussion, because that message at the end was very clear. There is a market out there for fractional CMOs. Anyone who's out there thinking about becoming a fractional CMO, I think, yeah, there's definitely a market out there for you. So what's next? What have you got in the pipeline with developing the business next, Savvy?
Yeah, so last November, we acquired a business, and it's a vertical. Basically, it's a agency which does white label PPC ads for other agencies. So initially, I was very intrigued by the fact that they have literally hundreds of clients and spend close to $150 million in ads spent for others, but they only do this for other agencies. And I'm used to doing ads where we spend like $100,000 a month or $400,000 a month, big companies doing a lot. There you have a lot of freedom to do a lot. But when you're doing this for smaller agencies, they get a dentist who has only a budget of $2,000. That dentist is gonna fire you next month if you don't give them something for that $2,000. So I kind of said, man, they're in some ways more skilled than us. We have so much money, and with 400,000, if you lose 20, 30,000 here and there, you didn't do it right with some ad, nobody's gonna notice it. It's a big budget. Mm-hmm. Here, if you screwed up something, you will be fired next month. So I said, these guys ought to know something about PPC more in detail. And I was intrigued by that. So Rob, who had founded that company, he's out of UK. So when he was looking to do more tools, so we acquired that, and it's an interesting business, and that we are able to go to our agencies are able to use our data and go to a client and say, hey, Mr. Dentist, $100, $110 a lead in Boston area. So they can tell them in advance, what will it cost them? Which in a bigger business, we could never. We say, oh, we'll try, we'll tell you what will happen. Mm-hmm. Let's work it out. Here, they're able to do that, and then it's easy to close. Dentist is going to figure out, is $110 worth it? You know, is that? And so it's a great sell for smaller agencies. So I've got this new passion helping smaller agencies to grow. And also I'm thinking I could take what I've done with my agency in 14 years and show them how we grew and just kind of lay it out to those agencies. They can decide to follow and copy anything we have done. Because I feel like here I've reasonably arrived. We could keep growing, but we have reasonably arrived at the model. Here I could help hundreds of agencies. Out of those few, hopefully will just copy this model and do their own agencies someday while we are helping them doing the white label. Nice. So that's a new passion I've developed after acquiring this agency.
Awesome. Yeah. I look forward to seeing how it goes in the future. Definitely. Thank you very much for speaking to us today, Abby. It's been a great conversation. Very, very interesting stuff, both for people looking to become a fractional CMO and also for companies looking to hire fractional CMOs as well. I think there's some great advice for both sides of the audience. And thank you very much to our audience for listening as well. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation. We'll be back soon with some more CMO convos.